Jacques Maritain was born in Paris in 1882, and he was raised in a rather lukewarm, liberal Protestant family. And by the time he entered the University of Paris, when he was old enough to begin his university studies, he considered himself an agnostic. And he wasn't a happy agnostic. He was, in fact, quite miserable. He was tormented by this deep longing, this desire to find some kind of meaning and purpose in his life. And yet up until then, he had been frustrated in that quest. And so one day, as a university student, he was walking through a park there in Paris with his girlfriend, Raissa. And the two of them were talking about this, and they settled on an agreement, a pact, that if within a year from that day, the two of them had not together found some kind of meaning or purpose in their life, they would each end their lives. It was a suicide pact. So miserable was his agnosticism. Jacques Maritain had fallen into what we would call nihilism, a fancy philosophical term for the belief that our life has no meaning, no purpose. The word nihil in Latin means nothing. It's a philosophy of our modern age that many have fallen prey to. It's a philosophy that in the first reading today, it seems as if Job himself is flirting with. Life, is not man's life on earth a drudgery, he asks. And he says, I shall not see happiness again. Job, of course, is this figure in the Old Testament who suffered immensely. And it's important to read always in context. It's important for us to know that Job, in fact, is a man of heroic faith and confidence in God. Because while certainly he expressed this reality of his suffering and his struggles, he never lost faith. He continued to bless the Lord, even in his sufferings. Thanks be to God, Jacques Maritain and his eventual wife, Raissa, also were delivered from their nihilism. The details of the rest of their lives are too much for a Sunday homily. But by the end of his life, Jacques Maritain describes himself as a man God has turned inside out like a glove. In God's providence, he encountered the teaching of St. Thomas Aquinas, and through St. Thomas, fell in love with our Lord Jesus Christ. And he, in fact, became a well-known Thomist philosopher of the 20th century, a brilliant Thomist, a close collaborator of Pope St. Paul VI. Now there's even, I've heard, some movement towards his possible beatification and canonization. Jacques Maritain found the truth that delivered him from his tormenting agnosticism in Jesus Christ. And when he came to true faith in Christ, everything in his life all of a sudden was charged with meaning and purpose. There was nothing that did not have some value for him once he made that turn. Ultimately, in the end, he realized that he was made for heaven, for eternal, perfect, unending joy and peace. And that fueled the rest of his life. You know, I think sometimes, even after we come to faith, there's a temptation towards a certain kind of nihilism, even for us. Maybe a kind of, we could say, a Christian nihilism, which is this attitude. I'm made for heaven. I've come to faith, I've been baptized, now I just need to bide my time until God calls me home. And we lose something of the meaning of all of these events of our life until that moment that God calls us home. Because the fact that you and I are made for heaven charges every single moment of our life with deep meaning. Look to the gospel today. Here our Lord is working all these incredible signs and teaching the people. And afterwards, he goes off by himself to pray, and St. Peter and the other apostles come to him and they say, "Everyone's looking for you. You've made it big. You're famous. Come back." And what does our Lord do? "No, I'm not meant to just sit here and bask in this glory and this fame. There's other places we have to go." He had purpose and meaning. He didn't just come to earth to wait a little while and then die and rise again. But every moment of his life was given over to the will of his Father. And so he went on to all the other towns and villages to carry out that mission. You and I are made not to simply bide our time until we get to heaven. You and I are called into a great adventure, which is life on earth in Christ. Yes, the goal ultimately is heaven. But in the meantime, we're called to something great here. Our life is an adventure in Christ, I would say, for two reasons. And two things that can give meaning and purpose to every moment of our lives. The first is the recognition that, yes, we are all made for heaven, but there are different degrees of glory in heaven. St. Thérèse of Lisieux speaks about this in her beautiful autobiography, Story of a Soul. She says, "The souls in heaven are like different sized cups. And in heaven, they're all filled to the brim with water, that is, with the life of glory. But the bigger cups can take more water. They can hold more water." She says, "The soul is made to grow and expand, to be able, if you will, to receive more and more of God. And the way that happens is through our life on earth, giving ourselves to prayer and sacrifice and works of charity and mercy. And when we dedicate ourselves to these things, our soul becomes more and more capable of receiving God. And so we can spend our life on earth increasing our capacity for glory in heaven. Or we can just bide our time, content to be a little thimble filled with God's water when we get there. However big of a glass we are, we're perfectly happy. But we can stretch, if you will, by God's grace, our soul to enjoy the glory, his glory, even more fully in heaven. That gives meaning and purpose to everything in our life. And the second reason that life is an adventure and not just a biding of our time is that you and I are called to and have the potential to win other souls for Christ. St. Paul spoke about this in the second reading today. "Woe to me if I do not preach." You see, he was filled with this desire not just to save his own soul, but to bring others with him. "I've become all things to all to save at least some." Salvation is not a guarantee. It's something that we have to receive and welcome. And you and I, once we have come to faith, we have the potential to bring others to faith. And is that not a wonderful mission in life? This is why our Lord didn't stop and just enjoy the glory and the fame that he had found in Capernaum, but was driven to move on to other synagogues. "Let us go on to the nearby villages that I may preach there also, so that those people can hear the gospel and can come to faith." My friends, let's ask our Lord today to renew in us that deep, driving fire for our own growth and holiness, for our own stretching, if you will, of our soul in order to receive even more completely the grace of God, and the fire to be evangelists who bring that joy, the joy of that good news to others, so that, like St. Paul, you and I can also say, I've become all things to all to save at least some. St. Gerard Majella, pray for us.